As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Marty, good afternoon. How are you?
I am fine, having a great day.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, really and truly. On the other hand, I feel really sad for the people who, the 400 workers that were just got their notice. It appears that they're going to be laid off there at Catalan. So, Bill, you know, it's that is really a sad thing. And then I can try to remember back in the day when we had the GE plant here, it was not unusual to see temporary layoffs just for a short period of time. So hopefully that's what that is for these folks. But you can't really tell by the message that was sent out.
Right, and we'll hear more details about that, because I thought all we've heard is, boy, Baxter's hiring, Catalent's hiring, everybody's hiring, and we're going to build new stuff. And, yeah, sometimes, well, the world works in interesting ways. So were you guys busy last night? Commissioner's meeting today. I bet you've got a full agenda for me.
Right, but I need to go back to the Catalent situation to begin with, and why that has something to do with county government, because, as you know, I'm not sure that we've discussed it, because in the past we were told we weren't supposed to discuss it, but I know that the county commissioners discussed it in a public meeting the other day. So I'll just say that we have, the county has committed to wait for 2 years to give Catalent a first chance at purchasing that property there near Catalent, that 80-some acres that we own there. And so I'm wondering how this affects any of that. Because when the commissioners were being questioned, why are we not using this particular property that we already own, then the response came back from Commissioner Lee Jones that we really don't have that available to us because we have committed to wait for a couple of years on what Catalent's doing. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Interesting.
Yeah, one more piece of a puzzle.
Well, let me throw another headline out there as well before we get started. Mike Braun, the senator for the state of Indiana, is going to run for governor. He filed his paperwork early this morning. And so we know that there will be his name in the hat for the governor of Indiana, and that will open up a senator seat as well. So we've had a busy day already.
Right. There's going to be a lot of moving around, and there's a lot of people very interested in that spot, of course, on both spots, either the governor or the senator seat. And so it'll be really interesting to see who's going to line up for what. And many of them will be people that I know personally, and so it will be interesting for me to take a look and see what's going on. And, of course, we're still in the midst of this hand count recount. I don't know how long it's going to take for the state rep's position here, you know, between Dave Hall and Penny Giffens. There was only like a 40 vote difference, and so it's all been locked up and ready to go. So anyway, I guess if you're real interested in politics, you'd certainly be interested in that. So there's going to be a lot of movement there. Certain. So one of the things that happened last night at our council meeting, to get back to the council, something I was very interested in and working really hard for, as well as several others, was trying to put together a fair amount of salary and for our law enforcement and for the jailers. And they have been waiting for quite a long time, several months, to have this addressed. That should really have happened before now. But what almost passed, and we have to vote on it again because our council president did not agree to this. And so if you don't have unanimous vote on the first reading, you're required to read it the second time for a salary ordinance. And so, but there was one motion went on the floor, and not everybody liked entirely what that motion was. And so I put forth the motion that was very close to what the first one had been, which was give them their 15% raise now, which is what they, in my opinion, should have had all year anyway when they were adjusting everybody else's, and make it retroactive back to a date in October, and then next year they would get the 5% increase just like the rest of the county employees who'd had their salary adjusted during the year. So that passed with the 6-7, but only passed the first reading. So the second reading will be December 6th. And once again, I'm sure we'll have the room full, because that room was full last night with our law enforcement officers and the jailers, and all wondering what was going to happen with their paycheck. So many of the comments had been made by others that we were losing people to Catalan. Well, now I'm wondering if...
Yeah, wait a second. Catalan,
yeah, maybe they'll be coming back. And what I've been saying for a long time is we should be singing the praises of county government employment, because you rarely see a layoff in county government. So anyway, that was...
When was the last time that happened? Never?
Well, but here's the thing. If we spend and budget to spend over time more money than what is coming in, which is what could happen if the annexation thing goes through and that our revenue gets cut, well, then how do you make payroll?
Right.
So I would think every county government employee would be out there really making sure that they're doing everything they can to stop this annexation, because it's going to... Really, it's going to affect the revenue to operate county government. And, of course, we have no choice but to continue to operate the jail efficiently, because, of course, the city doesn't have a jail. It's the county's legal responsibility to have a jail or to cover that in some fashion. So we will still have that expense. There's no getting around how that works, or the entire court system. So our expenses will go on, for sure. So that's just something we have to look at. But the other thing that I think you might be interested in was we discussed the an agreement to say that we supported what the commissioners wanted, which is a CID, to the Capital Improvement Board for the Convention Center project. And that was presented to us last night, but for whatever reason, I have no idea, whoever prepared the document had thrown in a lot of other whereases and so forth that didn't pertain to exactly what the commissioners had said. There were a lot of things added in there about the innkeeper's tax and how that might work and so forth. And so I was not the only one that objected to that. Many of us did, and just thought that was not necessary to be in there, and it would take a much longer conversation amongst people who, you know, we have several new people on the county council to maybe they might not understand how all of this works. And so why put all that in there? It was just not necessary. So they did remove all of those comments out of that draft resolution, and so we voted on it and unanimously agreed to sign that, and we signed it, and off it went. So now it really will be both the county commissioners and county council have stated our goal would to be have it happen with the Capital Improvement Board if we do it. I mean, I continue to say if we do it. I think we've got a long way to go before we start breaking ground, because we don't have the agreement with the city. If the city comes back and says, yes, we're going to go with this, and yes, we approve it, and then that's another step toward making it work. But it's going to have to come from the city legislative body, which is the city council. And so we need to hear from them what they want. And so that will be real interesting to get past and we don't know how that might work out.
That is interesting, and part of this moving forward is at least you're talking. That's the good stuff. I mean, or is this going to be, since we've agreed to this unanimously, this is where we make our stand and we plant the flag here, and then you got to come take our where are we and what is next?
Well, I'm from some conversation that I've heard that a lot of the folks on this city council agree that the CIB would be just fine. So I don't think the mayor's office is in favor of that, but it doesn't, that what it's going to require is to have the legislative body say they're for it, and then hopefully the mayor would agree as well. I mean, this is just the way the state has set up how a CIB works so that the public's money is protected and so the public has opportunity to be able to hear what's going on. And I can think of really no reason why we wouldn't move forward with this, with the exception that we still have to, bottom line, and I mentioned this to you last week or maybe the week before, that part of that is saying, well, there's three city and three county, and those six people are going to be recommending the seventh. And that's part of what I said last night. I said, what does that mean, recommend? Recommend to who? And, of course, there's no answer to that.
Why not?
Nobody seems to know. Everybody just acts like as if it doesn't matter. But believe me, that is what matters. That is because the reason I say that is, look, when you have a board that is 3-3, you need that seventh to break a tie.
Absolutely.
And so whoever that seventh one, whatever that appointment is, it's going to be crucial. So we need to make certain that if it says recommend, that doesn't mean for sure it happens. Unless somebody says, we don't care about that law. We don't need pay attention to Indiana laws. I mean, we've heard that lately. So it will be interesting as we move forward. I see by another email that I received today that we're expected to meet again on the 20th. Well, why don't we just meet on Christmas Day and be done with it? For other things as well.
Is there anything due by the end of business 2022 that has to get done, Marty, that we need to pay attention to?
We'll probably have, additional appropriations or something of the sort. But what I would want people to be watching out for is this plan commission is making the presentation almost like it's, I hope that we've got a lot more time to discuss and review and so forth, the plan about our land use plan, that they're going to be making that yet this month. And now it's really, in my opinion, it's a bad time to put forth something as important as how people might be able to use their land or what is going to happen in your neighborhood, because they're making plans where it might very well be as they could put a multifamily in the middle of your neighborhood or at the corners or something. I'm just saying watch for it, because we don't want it to say, well, you had your chance and now you missed it. And so I don't know how many other opportunities we'll have for this presentation. And so we'll just be watching for it, and hopefully people will be looking out for what's going to happen in their neighborhood, because there's nothing quite so important as people believe is not only do you have a job, but where you live and how your neighborhood is, because maybe you bought in your neighborhood because it is a single family neighborhood where you believe would be really a happy place to raise your children. And will there be something happen that would change that in some fashion?
Is that the meeting that's going to be on the...
I'm just saying watch.
Is that the meeting that's on the 13th of December?
Yes. I don't have the time. Do you have the time?
I do. I have it right in front of me. It's going to be the Monroe County Planning Department invites you, yes, you, to join our next Plan Commission meeting to discuss the latest updates to the Monroe County Consolidated Development Ordinance. Date, December 13th, 2022. Time, 5:30 p.m. It is
5:30. Yeah.
It's in person at the Nat U Hill Meeting Room at the Kirk, obviously at the courthouse, and there is a link to the virtual meeting as well. So there you go, and we will remind you and everyone else of that as we get closer, and closer and closer and closer to it.
Right, and I think you'll see a lot of your developers and home builders and so forth who will be very interested in that to see what might be happening, because how are we going to provide workforce housing? That was discussed a bit last night when we were going over the American Rescue Plan Act fund discussion about different areas that the county council might like to see included in the expenditures for that plan. It's sort of tricky the way it works is because the commissioners have to put that plan together with the different dollar amounts, but in order for it to be spent, it has to come to the county council for appropriation. So it really behooves both parties to be working together to make a list of what they think would be most appropriate to use for these dollars, and so that's something that's really important going on right now as we speak. I got several messages yet just today with some people making changes on what it was that they felt like the dollars should be spent on. So, you know, when you've got these kinds of dollars, and it really needs to be one-time kind of thing. We shouldn't be setting up something that we have to continue to support, you know, 5 years from now when we won't have this money to do it with. So this is important to watch out for that. And part of that is how are we going to support our budget where we provided incentives for our county employees to stay employed with county government, which we've already voted on that. So are we going to be able to pull that money back out of this ARPA money? Because we would be allowed to do that. I do believe we would be allowed to do that and would help us make sure our budgets work out. Oh, it's a fun time to be a part of county government.
Well, it's always busy this time of year. Always.
I beg your pardon?
It's always busy. It doesn't matter what time of year.
Well, you know, it's funny because last night I just felt really pretty joyful, and I don't always feel joyful at the county council meetings, but I did. I walked out, and there was a little break. They took a recess, and I walked out out of the room, and there was a lovely family, you know, three little children and the mother there with them. It was a wife of one. I think it was probably a jailer, but it might have been a wife of law enforcement. I couldn't tell. Anyway, it was their family waiting outside with the children so they wouldn't, I suppose, make noise in the meeting room. And I thought, that's really what this is about. It's not about that. It's about making sure that we're fairly paying the people who work for county government so that they can take home the money it takes to provide for their family, be it large or small. Maybe it's just one or two people in their household. Maybe it's just them. But it is our responsibility to pay them fairly and not to play favorites of one department over the other. If they work for us, they need to be paid fairly. So it was, for the first time in a long time, I felt real, real happy to be there. I felt like that was the right thing to do because, I mean, the jailer's only making $19 and something an hour. And now that just, you could go just about any place to make $19 and something an hour. It's less than 20. And so all this meant was they were going to get, instead of making 20, they'll be making 24. Or it's 23 something an hour. So I wouldn't go work in the jail for any kind of money.
Well, that's a double-edged sword, Marty, and we can have this discussion until we're purple. If we want to pay jailers $48 an hour, we surely can, but that comes from the taxpayers' pocket as well. So we can do all this stuff. That's not the question. It's finding the soft spot or the sweet spot.
Yeah, and here's what people need to recognize is that we were having to pay overtime for some of these people who'd been around working in the jail for a very long time. So their salary is a lot more than $20 an hour. And if we're paying them double time for hours spent there, it is just not, it's not even money-wise. Because it's not even a smart thing to do financially, because you could get an extra hour of service if you had more people hired. But we were having some of these people who make a great deal more money were having to work the overtime, whether they wanted to or not, in order for the staff. So this is really, in a way, to make sure that we're getting that every dollar we spend is cost effective. Because it certainly isn't if you're paying 40-some bucks an hour instead of 20-something an hour.
Yeah, I understand. And then whoever's last will always come up to the front and say, well, we don't make enough, and we'll just, yeah. I mean, that's how the world works. So you've got to find a way, and you can't do it. Like you said, it doesn't grow on trees, so we have to make judicious use of it. And try to make it the best for all. Hey, happy belated birthday there. You're sneaking one in on us. That was very good. That was good.
Oh, I had such a grand time. I really did. And my family was here for part of it. And I really had a great time. And,
well, good.
When you wake up in the morning, you go, okay, I'm a lucky one. I can still get up out of this bed and smile. Yes. So I'm excited. I'm happy about life. This is a great time of the year to enjoy.
Well, good. Well, so, we enjoy you every Wednesday.
And did you have a great birthday as well?
Oh, I did. It lasted all of, but then the next day was Thanksgiving and no one remembered I had a birthday. So it's good when you get older. That's good. That doesn't hurt too much. We'll do it all again.
We never get a birthday cake, though. You know, it's always pumpkin pie.
That's
right.
My
birthday cake.
Got a little birthday brownie this time around, so that was nice. Next time we talk, it'll be December, and we'll make sure everybody's up to date on everything that's going on, and we appreciate your time as always. Stay warm. And we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, great.